parents find a trusted devotional for their kids.
How amazing it was, and what a relief when we did that Google search and found Keys for Kids.
A ministry to inner city youth is providing hope through Keys for Kids devotionals.
It's just a game changer. It's so awesome to be able to send them with more than just, hey, here's what you can read today. But hey, here's what you can read for 3 months.
And our partnership in Afghanistan has seen miracles.
God, you've made blind eyes to see. Now please make seeing eyes blind.
All this and more on today's Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder. Welcome to Keys for Kids Connect, the podcast that explores how faith, family, and ministry all come together to ignite a passion for Christ in the next generation. We'll be talking with Jonathan and Jean Wiles, friends who are not just using Keys for Kids, but telling others about us. Lucette Boucher from Inspire Sports Camps, a ministry using Keys for Kids and Unlocked at their camp. But first, I caught up with Bruce Allen, the executive director of FMI. We're partnering with them in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and soon to be Iran. I want to get an update from you, the executive director of the ministry, of what is happening in Afghanistan, but also talk about Iran, especially with the fact that it's back in the news. You have expressed a desire to try to reach the Iranian people with our Keys for Kids storytellers translated into multiple languages. But first, let's just get an update on what's happening in Afghanistan. I know there's some things to report.
In our collaboration with Keys for Kids, you know, first we did Urdu, taking your content, translating it into Urdu, recording it. Wonderful fruit, like from John 15, the much fruit, and that is lasting. That was for Pakistan. But that prompted us to say, hey, yeah, if Keys for Kids is up for this, let's translate into Pashto, which is so widely spoken, again, in a variety of countries, but specifically in what I'll say is northern Pakistan. You know, these tribal languages, they don't know geographical boundaries, geopolitical boundaries. So the tribe is between Afghanistan and Pakistan. And we've had partners in Pakistan for decades, in Afghanistan for about 10 years as well. So the Pashto, once we had Pashto, we could take them into Afghanistan. The spiritual hunger and thirst there is palpable. Our partners there, they don't have many resources. The Bible is the major resource for disciple makers and church planters. But with the crackdown from the brutality of the Taliban regime, access to these resources is so limited. But our partners go across the borders between Pakistan and Afghanistan. So if we can do the recording in a studio that we have in Pakistan and then take them across the border, we have our partners there who are so eager. And it was amazing in January, taking in thousands of these solar-powered MP3 units. I'll share stories with them about Brother Andrew, you know, God Smuggler, and his prayers of, God, you've made blind eyes to see. Now, please make seeing eyes blind. As they cross the border and have to deal with immigration and customs and things like that. And the Taliban agents, we think they saw the boxes and they just, yeah, go on through. And there was no problem getting the units in. Now, once our partners had them, whether it's in a marketplace, or a madrasa, even, you know, places where people congregate, they would have these conversations, share the units. And what we found was God was directing us to people, not that we knew were the elite members of their tribes, but that someone would say, my father's the tribal chief. This was happening over and over. And once the chief and his family embrace Christianity, once they know about the assurance of forgiveness, of the hope, the compassion, the purpose of Jesus Christ, they're just like, this is the best thing. And because Islam does not offer an assurance of forgiveness of sins, you know, Muslims will know we sin. They just don't know how to deal with it. And they, those who come out of those backgrounds, they are ardent evangelists from day one. So whole communities become followers.
Why do you think that the storytellers are so effective in these areas? Well, I mean, obviously there's Bibles and I'm sure those are effective, but it sounds like this is making it easier for them to understand. Is that the case?
Absolutely. Literacy in these regions is very low. You know, we often might hear how the Taliban was denying education, especially to women, girls, things like that. There are places where our partners are going where there is no school. So to have something that is in audio format that they can understand, it's in their language. They've never had anything like that. So literally these villages are hearing about Jesus for the very first time and they are falling in love with him.
Yeah. And Brother Nehemiah, at least at one point, said it was turning into like being a game changer the work that they're doing.
Yes. And then it would spread like wildfire. You know, we'd go in to do distribution. One of our partners that I'm thinking of even would just, he would hike for hours to get to the next remote village, you know, with his box of MP3 units. And he would return home with an empty box. They were all so grabbed. He stayed long enough for them to explain how to operate the units, how they're solar powered. Electricity, I can't imagine, is really getting into some of these places. So having them solar powered is great. But the people begged him. They said, you must come back.
Churches are being established?
Yes. In fact, we have about a dozen churches that have been planted between January to May as a result of the Pashto MP3 units.
Wow.
Inside Afghanistan. So we're seeing such receptivity. And I think it's important for people to understand on this side of the equation, the donors that we rely on, the prayer support, that often we think of a place like Afghanistan and we write it off. Just because a government is closed to the gospel does not mean the people are closed. And we are just finding such receptivity, and God is providentially connecting us with so many of these tribal leaders.
You're listening to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder. We'll continue with our interview with Bruce Allen with FMI in just a second. But parents, the Word with Zach and Unlock summer reading programs are underway. Now, it's not too late to join. It's a great way to keep your kids and teens in God's Word all summer long. They can join anytime, read daily, and win some fun prizes. Sign up today at keysforkids.org and look for the banner. We have the Urdu, the Pashto, and I understand that the Dari is the language that you guys are working on for us right now.
That's
and
right.
What, we're 20% done?
25. We expect to be completed, and that process is we're translating your English content, and you've given us license to use the sound effects and the music, soundtracks, background, stuff like that. So first step is translation. Then it's proofing the script. And then it's the recording. And then it's uploading to the devices. And then comes the distribution. But 25% has been translated, proofed, and recorded so far. We're doing them simultaneously, those things. So as soon as something is proofed, it's getting recorded. We expect completion by October, distribution to begin before the end of the year, probably around Christmas time.
Now, it hasn't been met without resistance, though. We got word that something happened this week.
Yes. The studio was compromised earlier this month. So fortunately, the recording artists were out of the building at that time, but they knew they couldn't go back. So there's no damage to the project other than the fact that, okay, now where do we do this recording? So that's a prayer request. no loss of materials, so that's praise, but we have to find another secure location for the work.
When we originally or initially talked about what was next, we thought, you know, Iran would be the next, you know, Farsi would be the next language, and reaching out into Iran, which is the fastest growing church right now in the world, is Iran.
Mm-hmm. And it has been for a long time.
Yeah, a while. So we anticipated doing that. However, you said, and Nehemiah said, you know what, Dari is probably the best choice. And you told me just a few days ago that that was a wise choice. Why?
Yeah, well, Dari is essentially the same as Farsi or Persian. So, in fact, what we call Dari for Afghanistan, they would call it Afghani Farsi, but they end up calling it Dari. So, essentially, the same language. Now, I'm not a linguist, but I can imagine there might be some differences. Like if you took someone from Boston and had them go to Savannah, Georgia, there's differences in accents between those two places, things like that. But it's understood. And between Pakistan, Iran, and Afghanistan, 142 million people primarily speak and understand Dari. So what we are in the process of completing for Afghanistan, if we can do more, get it into Iran.
Now, in light of what has happened with the bombings and the unrest that's in Iran, has that made the doors more open? Has it closed the doors in your mind? Is it making it more difficult?
I'll say one of the beauties of FMI is that we deal exclusively with indigenous church planters, disciple makers. We want to facilitate, mobilize, and inspire them. The church is multiplying. People are estimating that doubling in size every 6 months. They are so disillusioned with Islam. And this is true not just in Iran, but other places like Afghanistan. Disillusionment, and they're like, so what is real? I want my hope to be anchored on something that's real. And as people investigate and would have access to the scriptures, they go, wow, this is what I need. The beauty of God's providence and sovereignty, even in the midst of chaos, is that as people have fled Iran, they go to neighboring countries. President Trump, a week or so ago, was telling people, flee Tehran. And people were really beginning to leave, even because of just the war with Israel. So a lot of people were leaving. Well, they're going to countries where our partners work. They're going to Turkey. They're going to Afghanistan. So we have partners in Turkey.
Yeah,
we have partners in Afghanistan. So
how many units in all do you think have made their way into Pakistan and Afghanistan?
Oh, just of Urdu and Pashto?
Yes.
So far? 10,000, maybe more.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
And that's not 10,000 people. That's just 10,000 units. And each unit, and I've been part of some of the distributions and follow-up where I'd go in a few days later, the kids are memorizing the content, but whole families are being transformed because one unit is being shared among 5-7 people. And then the neighbors, you might have one unit reaching 20 people.
Or more.
Yeah, or more. I'm thinking with doing Dari, and we know we have the funding in hand for about 4,000 units. As more funding comes in, what's nice, we have the master recordings. We can make more. But each unit represents so many lives being touched.
That's unbelievable. We are hearing that on average, and this is a Mega Voice, which is where we get a lot of our units, say about 150 people will listen to one unit over the course of its lifetime, perhaps, and maybe more. So we're excited about those numbers. But I just want to say thank you, FMI, Bruce, Brother Nehemiah, for your desire to reach unreached peoples and the desire to use Keys for Kids Ministries to facilitate that. It's unbelievable to me that God's using it to touch adult hearts and beginning to plant churches in places we never dreamed possible. The fact that churches are being planted is just beyond my comprehension. That Keys for Kids could have a part in that is just beyond me. But I'm so thankful that God has been able to use it and is using you and is using us. And we're just praying that God will continue to bless. Anything that you'd like to share in closing, Bruce, maybe just a word of encouragement to donors who have really helped support this, or maybe a specific prayer request?
Yeah, well, the prayer request, especially this weekend and the coming weekend, I'll say mid-July, for the selection of the venue that would be secure, that work could continue, so that even this expectation that we could complete everything by October. The units cost about $25 a piece. You can be impacting dozens of people. The impact that we can be having in communities that have never heard about Jesus Christ, in a country that is so opposed to the gospel, and yet the people are very open to it. I want to say, what an open window. And if that's where God is working, I want to be working there too.
Bruce Allen, Executive Director of FMI, our partner serving specifically in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and soon to be Iran. Please keep praying. We turn next to a ministry in the United States. God is working. Last year, Inspire Sports Camps began using Keys for Kids and Unlock Devotionals in their inner city camp ministry. Inspire Sports Camps asked Keys for Kids Ministries for 1,100 devotionals this year. We can't fulfill their requests without people like you. Lucette Boucher is the program director at Inspire Sports Camps. They're hosting camps in Dallas, Pennsylvania. Well, I want to talk about the ministry that you guys have. And we started partnering together last year. Our then development director and you got talking about using our Keys for Kids and Unlock devotionals. And obviously, it went, I think, pretty well this past summer, last year, a year ago. But talk about your ministry. What is your ministry all about?
Yeah. So I'm with Inspire Sports Camps, and we're a gospel-focused sleepaway sports camp for kids from inner-city neighborhoods throughout the Northeast. Our mission is to create unforgettable experiences for underserved youth that lead to life-changing encounters with Jesus. And our vision is to see cities transformed one camper at a time.
Wow. That sounds like a lot, especially in light of our culture today. Talk about that. I mean, has it been challenging?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's really been really cool to just see how God has worked. This is going to be our 14th summer. And just seeing how God has grown the ministry and how really just the need for Jesus is out there. That when you stand firm on Jesus and you don't compromise that, what he does is just unbelievably amazing.
It is. You know, it's funny because we've been reading lots and lots of surveys, people saying that young people are searching for truth, that they want people to care. They want an understanding of this truth. What is this truth? Is that what you're seeing too? Maybe just talk about that a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a, you know, unofficial slogan that we serve tough kids from tough places. And these kids come out of all types of challenging situations, as you can imagine, from inner city neighborhoods. And they just come out with such walls up every Sunday. And our staff members build relationships with them. They get to know them. They love on them. They teach them about Jesus. And by Friday, when they're leaving, they don't want to go home because they've seen the feet of Jesus through our staff, and they've heard the truth of Jesus. Also, our staff are the ones that give them the full gospel. So they've seen it in action and then heard it from these people who have built these relationships and developed this trust. And we, every year we hear about campers who have gone home and really their lives have just been changed because of Jesus.
That's amazing. Now, last year was the first year that you guys received Keys for Kids and Unlocked Devotionals.
Yes.
How was that, first of all, able to help you?
Yeah, absolutely. So how it works in our program, Greg, is our kids So our structure is they have a small group every night. And on Wednesday morning, they hear the good news of Jesus. And then on Thursday morning, all of our kids receive a Bible. And some of them for the first time, a lot of them for the first time. And not only do they receive the Bible, but they are given a half hour chunk of time to go and read that Bible. And they spread out all over camp. It's a really, really cool time. They spread out all over camp. They have their Bibles out. The only people that are talking are is if they need help from their counselor to find the scripture that they're looking for. And they have their Bible out. They have their devotional out. And they get to read and have a guide for what to read in scripture. In previous years, before we partnered with you guys, we would give them a single sheet handout and then say, hey, like, if you liked this, here's a website you can go to. And like, we didn't really have any super great resource to point them to. And then last year, one of our staff members got connected to you guys at a conference, and I reached out and we got connected and we were able to get the quarterly booklets. And it's just a game changer. It's so awesome to be able to send them with more than just, hey, here's what you can read today, but hey, here's what you can read for 3 months. And if you want more, there's more available to you.
I'm talking with Lucette Boucher at the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. We'll continue the interview in just a second. It's a summer of hope at Keys for Kids Ministries. Our goal is to raise $50,000 to print 100,000 devotionals for kids at home and around the world. Ministries like Inspire Sports Camps and War Victims Summer Camps in Ukraine. $100 prints 200 devotionals for kids worldwide. Help at keysforkids.org/summer. Lisette, you've handed out keys for kids and unlocked to campers at your sports camps. Have you heard anything from the kids about taking those books home?
Yeah, so we heard from one. We're partnered. How our structure works is that we have our group leaders who are our urban-based partners who are doing the ground ministry all year. So they're the ones that are with the kids week after week, loving on them, sharing the gospel with them at home. And one of our Eagles reached out to our director and said that she had a camper who asked her, hey, can I have some highlighters? Which wasn't like a crazy request. It was relatively normal, like just the relationship that they have. And then a couple weeks later, she found out that the camper wanted it because she was reading her Bible and reading her devotional and she was using it to highlight everything. And then she shared that with our director. So it was really cool to hear that story.
Oh, that is awesome. In your mind, I mean, is this the beginning possibly of seeing kids transformed by the liberating power of the gospel? Are they being transformed? I'm sure it's stepping stones, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, as with any ministry, we sow seeds and they're at all different stages, right? But we have campers that come out, that come to know the Lord, build this relationship, have gone home and shared the gospel with their families and brought their families to church. We've had campers every summer. We have a group of junior counselors, which is our counselors who have just that are just aged out. They're campers that have just aged out and they're looking to pour into the next group of kids and say, hey, this is how Jesus changed me. I want to help you learn about him too. So it's really cool to see as they get older, as they hear the good news. There are campers that are just so excited about it.
Let's talk about the camp specifically. I'm assuming it's all kinds of sports.
So we do three sports. We have basketball, soccer, and dance. And they do it for like 2.5 hours each day. And then we have just typical camp fun, zip line, archery, swimming, boating, a whole bunch of stuff, which is those unforgettable experiences that from our mission, right? They're just getting to come out of the city into the nature and see things they haven't seen, do things they haven't done, and have these unforgettable experiences that lead them to encounter Jesus, that open them up, that tear down those walls and get them willing to hear more about what we want to share.
Let's talk about the blessing. I hope it was a blessing to be able to receive the devotionals really for free. I mean, they're not free to us. I mean, because we have to pay for them. But and donors literally give to Keys for Kids Ministry so that we can do this with organizations like you. How much does that mean to you guys?
Yeah, it's huge. Like I said earlier, it's partnerships are everything for us. Our kids are 100% of our kids are sponsored, where they pay a minimal registration fee to come to camp, and we raise the back end support to cover the rest of the cost. So partnerships for us are huge, right? Having facility partners who are bought into the mission, having partners like Keys for Kids who are willing to partner with us to keep down those costs and allow for us to be able to have those quality resources that are an amazing resource to anyone, that people are reaching out and people are receiving Keys for Kids just in their homes. And it's a resource that is well known and well received. Being able to give that to our campers the same as we would give, the same as anyone else would give, is huge.
So obviously we're doing a huge push this summer. We do it every summer for people to just donate so that young people can have these devotionals, whether it be campers or people in festivals and fairs and parades and things like that.
Partnership is huge, and not everyone can come out and serve at camp, right? Not everyone can work for Keys for Kids, but you can partner and you can be part of what God is doing. You can be part of bringing the good news to the kids. You can be part of helping them understand who God is and what he wants us to hear, and make scripture more accessible to our campers and to other kids all over. Being able to just know how to use the Bible, right? Know, hey, what is this I'm reading? Can someone help me understand a little bit better? And having that resource is invaluable. And as someone who gives to that ministry, you're part of that. Even if you're not the person sitting in front of that camper, not the person sitting in front of another kid, you're still a part of it, and you're making that happen, and you're bringing the good news to that camper. Like I said, it's just such a blessing to be able to partner with you guys and to hear about what you guys are doing, to get to partner with you and to have you guys come alongside to help our kids grow even more in their faith.
Lucette Bechet with Inspire Sports Camps on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Hey, help us print 100 devotionals for ministries like Inspire Sports Camps through our Summer of Hope campaign. Just go to keysforkids.org/summer. Next, we love it when people discover Keys for Kids Ministries, and when they find out what we're all about, they start telling everybody. Our next guests on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast are not just subscribers, they're not just donors, they're actually recruiters. Well, I'm talking with Jonathan and Jean Wiles, and Jonathan and Jean, we got to know you obviously through Keys for Kids Ministries because you support Keys for Kids and you use Keys for Kids, but how did you find out about Keys for Kids Ministries?
Well, we both grew up using Keys for Kids. As kids, we listened to a children's Bible hour with Uncle Charlie, and then we both had, we were talking about the devotions that we had used growing up, especially when we became parents, and we even pulled it out to show you.
So we got the children's Bible hour, Keys for Kids, 301-year book of devotions for kids.
So we both ended up, you know, using it, growing up. It was a big part of our lives as kids.
Wow. So fast forward to kind of now, as Keys for Kids helping you and your family.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think growing up it provided that structure, that habit, that healthy spiritual habit that you want. I remember as a kid, before we'd go to school, you'd wait for the carpool, but you knew at 7:30 is when you left. So about 10 minutes earlier, my mom would have my brother and I, we'd come out. One would take the devotion, one would take the Bible, and we'd open up to that passage. And that drove home a habit with us. And then we'd listen to Uncle Charlie on the way back home from school. But doing that now, when we became parents, the first thought in our mind was, wait, we're supposed to be doing Keys for Kids, you know? And it was kind of a shock at first because we kind of lost touch. You know, you grow up, you kind of find different devotionals or whatever. And how amazing it was, and what a relief when we did that Google search and found Keys for Kids. We found the app, when we found that everything was still there that we remember as kids. And now it's Zach. And we've had such a joy using that with our children.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's been just like a routine in our house since our kids were really small. They're 12 and 8 now. And just from the very beginning, probably pre-K, kindergarten age, we started using it. And I remember just the nights, who gets to push the button? You know, like just the excitement of using the app and how much they just look forward to it.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, have there been moments where you look back and you say, oh, you know, it was that moment that we were reading this and there were lots of questions and it just did something in your family that you maybe weren't prepared for, but it was really, really good, you know, when you've had some of those discussion moments where you don't necessarily have the answers, but you know you got to find them?
Right, right. They kind of put you on a spot. Absolutely. Keys for Kids has been relevant. From COVID to wars, I mean, it addresses childhood, real childhood fears, real childhood traumas in some cases, and it addresses the fun things, the day-to-day things that, but it's so cool to see that apologetic play out in their life. Whenever that they internalize it and they see it in the playground, they see it with their kids, with the kids that they play with at church or at school or wherever they are. It comes back, the key of the day, you know, it comes back to them. That's one of the things we always ask at the end of it. We say, okay, what was today's key? You know, were you paying attention kind of a thing? And it sticks with them. And we love that. And for us, we found a lot of good doing that at bedtime. We'd do one devotion in the morning, but we do Keys for Kids. They've done it at night and they like to continue doing it at night. What a great way to wind down and find the peace of God and put a cap on that day. And wow. So we thoroughly enjoy Keys for Kids and find a lot of value in discipling our children that way.
Oh, that's great. Now, I know that you guys obviously have used it a long time through your childhood, now with your kids. And you just informed me not too long ago, you kind of become a goodwill ambassador of Keys for Kids and really sharing it with others. Describe that and why.
Well, I started going to a mom's group and we were talking about at church and we started talking about, you know, what devotions do you use for your kids? And I brought up Keys for Kids and nobody knew about it. So I was like,
right, yeah.
I was like, this is just an untapped resource. This is such a huge part of our family's life. And I want to make sure that the people around us and families everywhere know about Keys for Kids.
The same was true with me. I had a small men's group and they were young Christians and they were very excited about the opportunity to start growing in their faith. And we were taking them through what it looks like to do a Bible study or a daily devotion. And I think the misconception is that's for adults. And they don't think, you know, what do you do for kids? Well, Sunday morning, you know, life groups or Sunday school or whatever you're doing. And that may be it. If you go to a Christian school, you may just get it, you know, a little Bible story daily or however they build that in curriculum. But without that, there isn't anything else. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of these parents are realizing if this is important for me, then what do I do with my kids? And this stuff's too deep for them. And what a wonderful thing to be able to share those keys that for either Keys for Kids or Unlocked with them, letting them know whatever age they're in, they can start building that habit in their child's life. And it just drives that home into adulthood.
Well, that's great to hear. And, you know, one of the reasons we created the devotionals the way we have is we want to make it as easy as possible for moms and dads to just spend quiet time with the Lord. You find that as well?
Yeah, it takes the guesswork out of it. And not only that, but you let the Holy Spirit kind of guide. You know, you're shocked at how many times that Keys for Kids devotion kind of hits you in that sweet spot for the day. Mm-hmm. Or hit a tone or maybe even a topic.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not something that's going on necessarily in our family's life, but maybe some of their friends are experiencing it, like divorce or death or, you know, stuff like that.
And I can't tell you how many times that a Keys for Kids devotional has spurred on conversations that maybe they were delaying for bedtime a little bit, but at the same time, there was a lot of great conversation that spurred out because of that. Yeah. A lot of really good quality conversations that made you go deeper. And that I can't tell you the joy in a parent's life whenever you see your child wanting that more.
Jonathan and Gene Wiles on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Hey, looking for a way to keep your kids and teens in God's Word every day? Keys for Kids and Unlocked Devotionals help them grow in faith with daily stories and scripture. Get your free subscription mailed to your house or read them online. Just go to keysforkids.org/subscribe.
We can create devos for kids and teens, but if they don't like them, kind of what's the point? Do they like them?
They do.
Oh, absolutely.
It's definitely something that they look forward to. They, our 8-year-old loves to come out of his room. If I'm doing it with him, then he'll come out of his room and tell dad what the key was. And, you know, sometimes we'll talk about other scriptures that maybe could go along with that, as well as the scripture that is included in the Keys for Kids for that night.
Let me just ask you this, because I know this is important. We think it's important, but we find that a lot of families either just forget or they don't. How important is it to read the scripture that's listed on the Devo, as well as the, you know, the many scriptures that are listed within the story? How important is that to you?
I think it's really important. One of the things that I like to do, especially as my kids start to learn to read, is to help them to find it in the Bible themselves. So, there, you know, it used to be on the, you could just click on the Keys for Kids and come up, but I like being able to help them to find it in the Bible and kind of help with their biblical literacy that way.
Obviously, you guys use Keys for Kids and Unlocked. You are an ambassador for the program, but you're also supporters of Keys for Kids financially. Why is it important for you to support Keys for Kids?
I think really there's two main reasons why. Domestically and internationally. And I think the domestic side, we've hit on that. We see the value in our own life, right? We're so excited that Keys for Kids was still around for our children. And we're so excited to take that information that we've been blessed with to other families, to watch them grow with their children and to see that opportunity. But also internationally, to be a part of Keys for Kids Ministries and see the storytellers that are making inroads into places where that is not possible. We're not going there. We're not able to go there. But Keys for Kids is able to get to these kids. And our heart breaks whenever we see these war-torn countries, so many of them, right? I think, you know, whether which side, there's still Christians on both sides in all of these, and people who need the Lord and who need that hope. And I think of the hope that's out there right now, there's a number of Christian, or not Christian, but children media out there, media options, where they're offering hope. And one of them, one mainstream one I heard the other day, they made the comment, they said, if you're scared, hug your stuffed animal and talk to an adult. And that was it. That was the extent of it. There was no hope that lies within us. There was no peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus was left out of that message. And without Jesus in that message, that hope does not stay. And Keys for Kids brings that hope. That's making it into those inroads. That's making it to those children. And I think for us, that's why that's so important.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to partner with you guys to be able to, you know, spread that hope in the gospel of Christ. And we love to do that.
Well, we can't do it without people like you guys. And I just want to say thank you for not just supporting us and praying for us and using it, but being ambassadors for us and telling others about what we do and just encouraging moms and dads and churches and schools to use this. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's not going to return void. And we know that it's going to change hearts and lives. We've seen it for generations. And I think it's like the fourth or fifth generation now since Children's Bible Hour started. So it's really utterly amazing. I'm just thrilled that I get to be a part of this. I guess in closing, guys, what would you like to tell maybe a family, maybe about Keys for Kids Ministries, maybe who don't know anything about us? Like, why in the world should they choose it?
One of the things that I love about Keys for Kids is that you guys, you know, say that your biggest mission field is inside your home. So, you know, what a great resource for moms and dads to use, to just pour into their children, to disciple their children, to bring up those conversations with those children, with their kids, and just to make that devotional time a habit. To spend time with the Lord each day.
Absolutely. I think I would challenge every parent to take for 30 days, download the Keys for Kids app, schedule out 10 minutes, go through it with your child. Whenever that is, make it a regular part of your day, whether in the morning or in the evening. And then pay attention to what the key is for the day, and then pray with them. Let them start and adults finish. Go for 30 days and tell me that your life isn't changed. Tell me that things are not better. Tell me that you can go through a day without doing your devotions. It will stick with you. My wife and I are living testimonies that it has. It, without daily prayer and staying in our God's word, we know that day is not going to end up right. And we're so thankful to have to go with God through the day. And Keys for Kids is a great tool that God has provided for years to help us instill that in our children. So thank you, Greg. Thank you to your whole team for all that you've done, because we have benefited. God has used you guys to richly bless our lives and our families, and I know countless millions around the world.
Jonathan and Gene Wiles, subscribers, donors, and ambassadors for Keys for Kids Ministries on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Well, shout out to Bruce Allen, the executive director of FMI, for being willing to talk about our partnership in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Iran. Also, thanks to Lisette Boucher, a program director at Inspire Sports Camps, and Jonathan and Gene Wiles, friends, subscribers, donors, ambassadors of Keys for Kids Ministries. We appreciate you guys. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Remember, you can listen to all of our monthly podcasts at your favorite podcast platform, or just go to parentminute.org/podcast. Thanks for listening to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast, connecting families to Christ one story at a time.